Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh my goodness! It's only preseason, but I'm hyped. Neil Fox, Jimmy G, buckets, gets buckets. Oh my goodness! Give me the hot sauce, Neil Fox. Give me the hot sauce.
What are you doing, Dragic? Did you not get the memo? There it goes. Can go upstairs.
Hey, it's time for a brand new episode of Give Me the Hot Sauce. If you're keeping track at home, this is episode number 120. We got a very special guest coming up later in the show, Shams Charania, one of the best NBA insiders in the business. He's right there with Woj in terms of breaking news across the NBA. You follow him during the draft, during free agency, and he's always battling with Woj tooth and nail. The funny thing, Stacey, we'll talk about this with Shams when he joins us, is he started out really apprenticing under Woj. He learned everything there is to know with Woj over at Yahoo Sports.
I mean, there's not anyone better to learn from, you know. Yeah. And you can tell that their styles are very similar. I mean, you know, but it's like a race to see who gets who drops the bomb first. You know, Woj has the Woj bomb, and you know, Shams is like, I mean, he's like he's right behind him. I mean,
right.
Sometimes he beats him. Yeah. So it's pretty cool watching from afar, like for both those guys.
It was funny at the trade deadline. I forget which player it was tweeted out. He goes, "It looks like Woj has been doing some lifting in between because he's beating Shams today." So it is a friendly competition, because they work together at Yahoo. So we'll talk to him about that dynamic and what that friendly competition is like. But Stacey's back from Toronto and Detroit. I understand you had some travel issues getting to Toronto, but you made it and you're back, and we're glad to have you here.
America. Yeah, we had some trouble. We were on the runway the other day going to Toronto. We were on the runway for about 3 hours. If you follow me on Instagram, you know the story. it wasn't fun at all. I fell asleep about 2:30 because we were supposed to board the plane at 2:30, leave at 3 o'clock. I was tired. I was exhausted. Yeah. So I fell asleep on the plane.
That's one plus.
Yeah. So I thought I was going to sleep through the flight and then wake up in Toronto. So then I wake up and I look outside. I was like, damn, this just looks like Chicago, you know? And I'm like, are we here?
And then, are we there yet, coach?
And then Adam turns around, you know, Adam Amin turns around. He tells we never left. He goes, I didn't want to wake you. You're sleeping so beautifully. I didn't want to wake you. Yeah. So we're probably gonna be here like another hour and a half, another two hours. I'm like, you got to be kidding.
That's the worst.
Oh man, sit on the plane. But I will have to admit though, I'm not gonna complain, because if we were on a regular commercial, we wouldn't have been able to get out of the seats. There'd be no moving around.
Right.
Like on our plane, we can get up, we can move around. We got our phones on.
Some snacks.
Yeah, because you know, on the commercial, you can't have your phone on.
Yeah.
You know, turn your phone off, please. All computer, all electronics off.
Yeah.
On our plane, that myth is a myth. We play music on the plane. People are dancing. The stewardess is out there dancing. You know, they're dancing on the plane, getting the groove on. It's a party plane, baby. Party plane, America.
Stewardess, not a flight attendant.
Oh, okay. So I'm sorry. Flight attendants?
Yes.
Okay.
Stacey's out.
Not 1972.
Okay. Not since 72?
No, I'm just saying it's not 1972.
Oh, okay. My fault. Okay.
Just trying to help you out.
Okay. Well, you know what? I don't fly on private jets like you do, Tim, where you got guys serving you. What do you call the guy?
They're all Hooters on my flights.
No, they're not. No. Stop lying. What do you call it? What do you call a male? A male flight attendant?
Yeah.
Yes, a flight attendant.
Okay, that's what you have on your plane. All right. On our plane, we have female flight attendants.
Stewardesses.
Yeah, stewardesses.
That's nice.
So if you're a stewardess out there, please excuse Tim. We know you're flight attendants. You know, forget all that. You're wonderful helpers. I just want to say that. I don't want to give them a tag name or anything. I just want to say they're just wonderful people. How about that?
Yeah, I think that's the best way.
Yeah, that's the best way. Forgive them. Give them a name. There's no names. They're just wonderful people.
Hey, let's talk about the games, though. That Toronto game, you know, when I saw the starting lineup with the four guards out there with Vooch, I'm like, man, this is gonna be a long night on the glass. And that turned out really deciding the Raptors' victory.
Let me just say this. It was a tough game. I mean, the Bulls had an opportunity to win that game. They should have won that game. Okay. At the end of the game, when you look at the numbers and look at across the board, I mean, it was a very hotly contested game. The fourth quarter was huge because the rebounding disparity was unbelievable. They had 18 offensive rebounds. So when you get 18 offensive rebounds and second chance points, that means you're getting more field goal attempts. So they had 23 more field goal attempts than the Bulls did. And the Bulls, what was the final score? I forgot. It was single digits.
Yeah, it was single
digits. 498.
Yeah. So just imagine that if they would have just, everything would have been in halves, everything, rebound half, offense rebound half, Bulls win that game. I mean, most time when you get out rebounded, you give up 18 offensive rebounds and you give up 23 more shots, you get blown out. Those are blowout games. And plus, there were steals, deflection. I mean, Toronto's one of the best teams defensively when it comes to steals, deflections, fast break points. And to be able to be in a game to the very end, a six-point game, two-possession game, the Bulls had an opportunity to win, just could not come up with the 50-50 balls down the stretch and could not come up with the key defensive rebound.
Yeah, and as good a defender as Alex Caruso is, at times he was asked to guard Pascal Siakam, who's an all-star, 6'8", long arms. That's a tough matchup.
Well, if you're gonna do that and you're gonna play a small lineup, you got to require double teams. Yeah. Guys have got to come down. You got to double. You can't leave. As good a defender as Patrick Beverley is, Caruso, those two guys are your best defensive players, along with Patrick Williams, and Kobe White's doing a really good job defensively. There's certain nights where you have to double. You can't leave Alex out there on a guy that's 6'8". It's just impossible for him to guard. He's going to give you his best effort on a nightly basis, but you can't guard, Siakam's an all-star, and he was just coming back. He's been out for a while, and he's been averaging about close to 27 points since he's been back. Now, Toronto was talking about blowing up their team, before the trade deadline. You were talking about Fred VanVleet being traded, Siakam being traded, Anunoby being traded. Everybody, their names were always coming up. Then they went out and said, hey, you know what? We like our core group of guys. Let's go out there and get us a rim protector. So they got Jakob Poeltl from San Antonio.
And he hurt the Bulls.
Yes. He's hurt the Bulls all year. Whether he was in a San Antonio uniform or whether he's in a Pizza Hut uniform, he's hurt the Bulls. he's a walking double-double machine. And so he was key down the stretch because he was getting those dive to the basket, plays. They don't run a lot of plays for him, but where he kills the Bulls on setting those screens and diving to the basket, and Bulls didn't have anything for him.
I just have this vision now of a 7-foot Austrian going to my door wearing a Pizza Hut delivery.
I'm telling you, it could happen. It could happen. And then Lord help you if you don't give him a tip.
That's right.
Boy, if you don't give him a tip, boy, woo-wee.
Be hell to pay. So then the Bulls move on to Detroit, and they play almost a perfect first half. Billy Donovan even referenced it in his post-game news conference. He said, we played beautiful basketball for a half. And then, he was struggling to come up with an explanation. We get lethargic, we take our foot off the gas, whatever, words you want to use for it, but you got a 21-point lead and they come back and tie the game, and that should never happen.
Well, lack of focus. Lack of focus. That's what I attribute it to, because you can't play such a flawless first half and dominate like they did. Now, you got to remember, Detroit's missing Cade Cunningham. They're missing Jalen Duren,
Isaiah Stewart.
Of their three starters. And so you think that's an easy game to do, but coming in that third quarter, in the second quarter, Detroit made a run. Bulls answered it towards the end of the second quarter into halftime. So they got control of the game because it looked like Detroit was going to go in with all the momentum at halftime and take, get back in the game and possibly take a lead. But the Bulls bounced back and they jumped back into a double digit lead. And so you really felt good going in at halftime. And that's what Billy Donovan was talking about. They really felt good about the way they played in the first half. They answered a call, which this year they haven't done that every night. When the team makes a run on the Bulls, sometimes the Bulls, the pressure gets to them. And we always say pressure bursts pipes. And there's been a lot of leakage. So here we come into the third quarter. They make that run again. But this time the Bulls didn't answer it. And then Detroit got Bogdanovich played phenomenal. I'm telling you right now, I said this last night on the broadcast. If I'm a team that is really close to being a team that can get over the edge, and I need a three-point shooter, I need a versatile three-point shooter, I'm going to go get him. What would it take? Because Detroit's not going anywhere right now with him. They got a lot of young talent. They're a few years away. What is it going to take to get that kid on my team?
Well, that's Shams, because I heard rumors that they were asking for 2 first-round picks for Bogdanović.
Well, I tell you what, the way every time I've seen him play, he might be worth 2 first-round picks. Seriously. I mean,
because a team that's close to winning a championship.
Yeah. And here's a guy, here's what you're comparing him to. This is a guy that can play multiple positions. He can bring the ball up the floor for you as a guard. He can post up. He can defend. He's not a bad defensive player. So I would say he's a 3-and-D guy. He's not your typical 3-and-D guy, but he stays in front of his guy. He rebounds the basketball. He's got good size. He's 6'8". And he shoots the hell out of the basketball, no matter where he's on the floor, whether he's in the corner, whether he's at the top, where he's on, you know, mid wing area, he can shoot the basketball. And if you're a team that needs shooters, because this league, you need to have shooters, you need to have 3-point shooters. He might be worth 2 first-round picks.
Yeah. Hey, Zach really had a good game against the Pistons. 41 points. He's really tore up the Pistons in every game this year. What is it? 13 times in a row, the Bulls have beaten the Pistons now.
Yeah. Yeah, it's domination. We just open a can of whoop ass every time. You know, that's the one game you actually go and you feel good about. Yeah. You're like, all right, we beat this team 13 times. We're going to get it again. But the one thing I'll say about Zach, I will say this about Zach. Zach, since the All-Star break, you know, and I know he didn't make the All-Star team, you know, and I'm sure he'll be the first one to tell you that he probably didn't play like an All-Star due to his injury right. His knee. He knew that. But since coming off the break, he's been playing phenomenal. And I heard Patrick Beverley, you know, early in the season when he came on, when the Bulls signed him, he said, "Hey, your job is to score.
Destroy
people." And it's not to pass and do anything else. And if you look at Zach's assist total last night, I didn't think he had an assist last night or a rebound.
Yeah.
So he's listening to Patrick Beverley. He's like, "Hey, maybe this
I'm a score."
He goes, "Wait a minute. You know, so I needed somebody else to tell me this. I'd have been doing this a long time ago." Because he didn't get a rebound, I don't think, and I don't think he had an assist. But he was lights out. He was very efficient. And since we've been back from the All-Star game, he's been very efficient offensively. He's not taking the bad shots. He's not taking the shots where he pump fakes, he stops, and then, you know, he's contested. You know, he's getting everything on the move. And I keep saying this, Mark. I mean, and I was talking to some people last night about this, is that he's one of the best catch and shoot guys in the game. He's right up there with Klay Thompson, right up there with Steph Curry, Jordan Poole. I mean, you name the best catch and shoot 3-point shooters in the game. Bogdanović is another one. He's right up there, 45% maids on catch and shoot. He needs to focus on that when he has that opportunity, because that is a weapon the Bulls have in him to be able to knock down 3-point shots consistently. And when he's moving, and yeah, he can hit tough shots, people hanging all on, but his percentage goes way down under those shots, contested threes, compared to the catch and shoot.
You know whose birthday it was yesterday?
Who?
Chris Webber turned 50.
Oh, you know
and
what?
You know what? Hey. To celebrate Chris Webber's birthday, that was something, wasn't it? Jaden Ivey-Port. I felt bad for the kid, but you know, you got to know.
I'm going to tell you something, man.
Yeah.
I felt so bad for that kid. I mean, we were like, oh, I know he pulled a Chris Webber. Yeah, I did say that. But I felt bad for him because that kid's going to be a superstar player. He's going to be a two-way player. And what I said last night about that situation, he's still a rookie. You know, this kid's still a young player. Someone, a coach, a player, a veteran player. They've got so many young guys over there that no one reminded him of that.
Yeah,
you know, people right. always say, "Oh, he should have known that." No, he wouldn't have. If you're
normally assistant coach, come in a timeout. Yes. And go, "Hey, we have no timeouts."
Or the head coach. And I'm not saying that Dwayne Casey didn't say it, because we don't know what was said in the huddle. Maybe he didn't pay attention. But that's something, especially when you have young players. You say, "Hey, look, we don't have any timeouts. Yeah. Do not call a timeout." You know, and what happens with young players, and I said this last night, young players get so flustered because they're looking for the first option. They're not looking at option 2, 3, 4 if the first option is not open. They are so programmed, and we see it on the Bulls, they're so programmed to run the initial play. And then they can't deprogram themselves when they say, "Okay, the first option is not there. What do I do now?" All of a sudden, it's a 5-second call. You know, it's a turnover. You know, we've seen it this year. We've seen it. I mean, as much as I love Alex Caruso, there was a stretch of games where he shouldn't have been taking the ball out.
Yeah.
And he was looking at the first option every single time, trying to get the ball to DeMar, the guy that we use in the fourth quarter, trying to force the ball into him and not looking at option two, three, and four. And this is a guy who's been in the league. He's a veteran player. So you can imagine Ivy, who's a young player, the pressure of trying to get the ball in, a chance to win the game because they were only down two, I think, and they had a chance to, you know, possibly get a 3-point shot, sure, the way Bogdanovich is playing. They could have won the game on the last second shot. So it helped the Bulls, but you feel bad for this kid. But here's the deal on that too, Mark. No one's going to remember this. This wasn't a playoff game.
Like Chris
this
Weber,
wasn't yeah. a game seven, yeah. a championship game. This is one game of 70 something games that a rookie was playing two teams that were, you know, going in two different directions right now. No one's going to remember this. No one's going to remember this a year from now. So he's good. He's good.
And we saw Pat Beverly walking to the bench, giving the T sign. You know,
yeah, he wasn't calling timeout, American. He wasn't calling timeout. He was trolling.
He's always going to rub it in. And the Pat Beverly impact has been real. The defense has been suffocating since he's joined the team. The Bulls are 3-1. And his line last night, 10 rebounds, 10 assists, and 4 steals. People always are fascinated by scoring, but the impact that he has and getting guys organized in the half-court sets as well.
Here's the thing I said last night too, is that, you know, when you see Patrick Beverly on other people's teams, he's not the primary ball handler. He's always playing off the ball. His defense has always been solid, no matter where he is. But on the offensive end, it's almost like teams just said, you just go stand over here in the corner and, you know, you set screens and move around and let LeBron handle the ball, let Anthony Edwards handle the ball, or, you know, D'Lo handle the ball. He's never been asked to be a point guard. I've been amazed at the way he's handled the ball and got the team in the offense and recognizes switches and mismatches, and he'll break the play like you're supposed to do. If you see a mismatch, you'll see Vooch get a pick and roll and see a guard on him. He'll stop the play, tell Vooch to get in there and throw him the ball. So seeing him play the point guard position for the Bulls has been, I mean, totally. I've underestimated his ability to play point guard. I've been highly impressed with that.
Yeah, he's been really good. Kind of like Whispers back in the day.
No.
Whispers, you ever playing point guard?
No, Whispers never passed the ball. He was a black hole.
I was an ultra forward.
You were what?
An ultra forward.
What, like Raymond Harris, the ultra back?
Listen. Ultra forward, ultra bad. That's what it was, okay? Hey, listen. The guy never passed the ball, okay? And he can only go left. He was like Manu Ginobili. He can only go left.
No, which is weird because he's right-handed.
Yeah, but you know he can drive left though. He can go left.
Wait, that sounded like a compliment.
It did.
That was weird.
It did. Listen, America, I'm not always sticking it to Whispers. Okay, you guys don't see behind the scenes. It's 30 years of abuse. Okay, remember what I told you when Whispers wasn't here. If you see me blinking, okay, that's the signal that I'm in trouble. Please help me, okay? So I love this guy, man. Seriously, it's my boy. Seriously.
Speaking of people we love our great sponsors, including our buddy Jeff Vukovich. When it comes to insurance for your auto, home, and business, make sure you contact the king of insurance, our friend, nationwide agent Jeff Vukovich. You can reach him at jeffvuk.com. That's jeffvuk.com for all your insurance needs. Stacey, you got another jingle in you?
Sriracha crew, go ahead, your turn.
Oh, here we go.
We're
a little short staff today.
Short staff, we're missing Dangerous D.
Yep.
Oh, God, they're not ready.
They're arguing.
Arguing, come on.
We sit over there drinking Sprite. I thought his pipes were warmed up.
Nationwide is on your side. I'm just sold.
Wow. They want to take two on a live show. Yeah.
Wow.
Jeff, we apologize.
On your side.
It's better.
Somewhere even Steve Stone is cringing.
You know what? So hey, man, listen. Hey, somewhere up here, hey, Snoop Dogg is cringing right there. Ask him, give me another reefer, baby. Puff, puff, baby. Don't pass it either, Snoop. Don't pass it, baby.
And those headphones are so he can't hear.
Well, don't let the rendition of the jingle influence you. Jeff Vukovich is the best insurance agent in the business. He's a fan of all Chicago sports teams. And send your business his way, jeffvuk.com.
And tell him Timmy sent you.
There you go. That'll work. Yeah. No King 21.
No discount.
No discount. No nothing. Discount at all. You're going to pay the high rates.
Hey, you know what's coming in the United Center on Friday nights? Kevin Durant coming off his first game with the Phoenix Suns.
Oh, no.
He had 23. I think Booker had like 36 or 37, and they won easily. That is going to be one tough crew to reckon with the rest of the way.
Listen, America. Very efficient game for him yesterday. Yeah. Like 20-some points in like 19, 20 minutes or whatever it was. I was sitting there like, wow. But the problem with Phoenix is their bench. You know, what are they going to get coming off the bench?
You got Campaign, the tank commander.
hey, Campaign, I know you listen to the show, brother. Campaign, I love you, boy. Don't let Mark come between us. That's how the Beatles broke up. This is Yoko Ono. He's a Yoko Ono of this show, okay? Campaign. Campaign's a great backup.
Yeah.
So what are we up to, 22 guys you can't answer your door to now?
it's growing.
I think where they're going to have a problem is in the front court.
Yeah.
You know, because, you know, if Aiden gets into foul trouble, you know, you're going to ask Kevin Durant to be guarding Jokic.
Right. Yeah, they don't have JaVale McGee anymore.
They're short-handed, but their starting five can go with anybody.
Yeah.
But I was watching, I think it was ESPN yesterday, and they were talking about the teams that have the chance, what the percentage of chances is teams get to the finals, and they had the Clippers as the team to come out of the West, which completely surprised me, because the way Denver has been dominating teams and the way Jokic is playing, and then to top it off, you know, you got Kendrick Perkins talking trash about him padding stats, which I'm sitting there saying, okay, Perk, look, man, I know what you're trying to do. You know, I know. You want to be that voice. I get it.
It's work for him. No, but he's got a big contract from ESPN. He's just got a book out now. The guy's cashing in.
Listen. His takes are horrible.
A lot of them are, yeah.
So to sit up there and say this Jokic, the kid, is padding his stats. The guy is 25-0 when he has a triple-double.
I know.
If I'm a coach, triple-double, big fella. Let's keep the train rolling, okay? 25-0. How is that padding stats?
And a lot of his triple-doubles are like 14, 11, and 10. Yeah. It's not like he's out there taking crazy shots.
It's not like he's running up there telling everybody, get out the way, I want to get this rebound.
Because remember, Westbrook always got the rebounds on missed free throws. He'd be the number one guy to pad his stats for rebounds.
And then there would be times when Steven Adams could get the rebound, and he'd let Russell Westbrook get it. Okay, but you don't see that with Jokic. Jokic is rebound to basketball. He's assisting. His assists lead to baskets, okay? And this in the game. This is like when the game is on the line, when the game is close, his assists matter. It's not like they're leaving him out there and they got a 40-point lead and you know, Malone is saying, go out there and just get five more assists and get your stats up. No, his stats are coming when the game matters. They're playing some of the best teams in the Western Conference. They're playing against Embiid in Philadelphia. He's putting up a triple-double.
Yep.
Man, you cannot discredit. He's going to win three MVPs. You might as well just go ahead and book it down. Unless he falls out in the shower and can't play the rest of the year, he's going to win three MVPs, and he's going to deserve it.
You don't think Giannis has a chance? They've won 16 in a row.
Listen, they're making a good run. Okay, Milwaukee's making a good run. 16 in a row. Okay, but I'm just saying.
Yeah, that's just no big deal.
You know, 16 in a row, that's awesome. But Jokic has been doing it from day one. And you got to remember, he was doing this stuff without Jamal Murray being 100%. And he's basically been carrying his team for the last 2.5 years, doing the same thing he's doing now. It's been consistent across the board. Assist, rebound, scoring, wins. Okay. At the end of the day, and I like Giannis. I like the Greek Freak. The Greek Freak is balling. He's hooping. But they got a nice team, though. Milwaukee has really put together a nice team after the trade deadline.
You mentioned benches. Getting Jay Crowder really helps their bench.
Jay, you get toughness.
Yeah.
You know, that's where they missed when they had P.J. Tucker. Mm-hmm. They missed a guy that can come out there and get to do the dirty stuff, to go out there and get the rebounds. But Jay Crowder can play, though. He's just not some goon. He's not no Ty Domi. He's not going to go out there and just beat people up. Jay Crowder can actually stretch the floor as a three-point shooter. He's going to rebound. He plays tough defense. And plus, he played at Marquette, so the fan base there loves him. He's found a home there, and he's probably won the show. He's probably hoping they play Phoenix in the finals. Say, yeah, I'll stick it to y'all. Yeah. So I don't know if they're going to come out the East, though, because, you know, Boston is still Boston. You know, Philadelphia is playing really, really well. I don't know. It's going to be tough in the Eastern Conference.
How about Stacey coming in with that hockey analogy?
Come on, man. I'm pretty good, talented.
It's not bad, but I got a better way to beat these guys.
What's that?
Just send in a Kardashian. Everyone's game goes down.
Wow. Okay, their lawyer's on line one. Give me the hot sauce has been shut down permanently. Thanks, Tim. Yeah,
they got a lot of money to throw at us.
Yeah, they sure do. We can only battle for about an hour. We can only battle for an hour, and then we fold.
I can call my legal team, too. The facts speak for themselves.
Okay. All right, Tim. Oh, big bank takes little bank. I like that, baby. Way to go, Whispers.
Hey, before we bring Shams in, the other big news in the NBA, LeBron James, the latest from Woj on Thursday afternoon is that they're saying it's a tendon injury. He'll be reassessed in 3 weeks, which takes you dangerously close to the end of the regular season. I don't know if we'll see him again in the regular season.
It's over. It's over. Laker Nation, it's over. Just get ready for next year. If he's going to miss 3 weeks, you know, you might as well just mail in the season, because their record is atrocious without him. So if he's going to be out 3 weeks, that's going to really, really hurt them. And I mean, Anthony Davis, I don't know if he can carry the team.
He's still not playing back-to-backs. He sat out last night.
Listen, you... Okay.
It's like body blows. I'm taking
too many body blows right now. Listen, when you are in a playoff race, number one, America, you should not be missing games down the stretch. Rest was early in the season. Rest was before the first of the year. There is no more rest. There is no more load management. Unless your team is definitely in the playoffs and they're 20 games up and then you know they're going to be in the top five, then you can rest your guys the last week of the season. But when you are fighting for a playoff spot, there is no rest. No. Matter of fact, you need to get your ass out the bed, put your shoes on, and go to work, because there is no rest. If you're trying to get to the playoffs, there is no rest. There is no load management. And I'm telling you right now, go ahead and let him rest.
Yeah.
You're going to have plenty of time in the summer to rest. 1, 2, 3, Cancun. That's what they're going to be saying at the end of the year. 1, 2, 3, go Cancun. That's where they're going.
Well, one guy who never deals with load management is our friend Shams Charania. He's going to join us after a break. Before we do that, how about Christopher Walken telling the folks how they can get a bottle of Stacy's fantastic signature hot sauces?
Yeah, what we got to talk about is Goose Island.
We are going to talk about that.
Yes.
Oh, we are?
Well, go ahead. Chris. It's your show.
Let's go. The burger is out today. So you can head down to Goose Island, get a Stacy King burger made with a barbecue sauce, and you get a bottle of the Verde with it.
Nice.
That's right. No code needed.
If you're
watching
on YouTube, it's on your screen. Stacy King's Give Me the Hot Sauce Burger. Freshly ground steak burger, roasted mushrooms, fried shallot onions, Monterey Jack cheese draped in King's Q sauce. Oh, my God. I'm getting hungry just looking at the photo.
Oh, wait a minute. And with your fries, you get the St. Pat's Verde aioli, and then you dip your fries in that.
There you go.
So everything is all about the give me the hot sauce, baby. It's not just the burger, baby. It's the dip for the fries, too, baby. Oh, Lord. And just remember, she'll like it, too.
It's delicious. So, if you want your own,
we already did
GiveMeTheHotSauce.com. Use code King21
there you
and
go.
Get 21% off your first order.
The King21. So is Whisper still packing away back in his dungeon?
Yeah, and little creepy. I don't know what he is, but he's good at packing that shit up. You know what I mean?
So, Stacy, has he been delivering all our guests that we promised them we're going to send him sauce, or are people still looking for it?
Yeah, there's people still looking, man. You know, I don't know who's
they're
in charge.
They're lying up outside the door.
Listen, I don't know if it's the Packers' fault or Little Maddie, you know.
I wouldn't blame her.
We're not going to blame Maddie, but,
no.
But there's
no,
only two people involved.
Maddie hunts it down, make sure it's out.
Yeah, well, Maddie, we need to give her the full responsibility because...
Well, that's what she wants.
You know,
she doesn't want to pack it.
No, because she knows how to do it. Like, she'll do it. But Timmy Whispers is like,
So we're going to have Cisco pack packing it and Maddie delivering it.
Let's get Maddie. Cisco does a good job. He packs mine up when I need it. He's a good packer. He's a damn good packer.
So I'm sure Tim Sinclair got his last week, right?
Yeah, I hand delivered it.
Yeah, that's the way it works.
I hand delivered Michelle Beatles. Y'all got me delivering stuff now. Like, I'm like a UPS man. I'm coming to a game delivering hot sauce to our guests. I did see Greg Kelsey last night.
Did you?
Because Greg Kelsey from Detroit. He's a Detroit analyst for
still
Detroit
waiting,
Pistons.
Huh?
No, he got his. He came by last night. He said, Stace, I want to tell you something. That's some damn good hot sauce.
There you go.
I'm gonna order some more.
Wow.
That's what he said. I put an order in. So I said, I was waiting for him to say, can I get some more free? I said, no, you ain't getting no free, bro. Hey, listen, I love you, G. Kelsey, but you got to pay like everybody else. You got to pay your fare, baby. You only get four free coming on the show. After that, you got to pay.
Well, you can give him the code.
No. There's no more codes, man. There's no more codes.
It's not his first order.
It's not his first order. No, no. Come on, Tim. Yeah. You got to pay the price.
So Whispers, some of your hard work has paid off. Greg Kelsey's a happy customer.
Glad we got one.
Glad to hear it. Well, we're going to keep the hot sauce rolling. Shams Charania joins us next on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Welcome back, episode 120 of Give Me the Hot Sauce. It is now our privileged to welcome in a very special guest. He's the senior NBA insider for The Athletic and Stadium. He's also the co-host of the new show, Run It Back, on FanDuel TV, our buddy Shams Charania. Shams, thank you so much for joining us. And before we start talking NBA, I want to take you back to a visit, I don't know, 8-10 years ago. You came into the Comcast Sportsnet studios and we had a chance to talk with you, and Kevin Anderson was there as well. And you kind of laid out your plan that you were going to become, you know, the next Woj. And darn it if you didn't do it. We're so proud of all you've accomplished. And how did the journey go from being a guy that was breaking stories and writing for Real GM to blowing up like you are now? Take our listeners through that whole tale.
Yeah, hopefully I wasn't that arrogant coming in and saying it like that. But no, I mean, I remember coming there, seeing you, and obviously Dee Kaplan was there doing his thing at the time as well. So I got a lot of love for you as well, Mark. I miss seeing you at games regularly. So hopefully see you at a game soon. But yeah, I mean, for me, I got cut playing basketball early in high school. Once that happened, I knew I had to I had to do something else if I'm going to stay around the NBA, if I'm going to keep doing something around the game of basketball, which I've always grown up loving, and I wasn't going to play. So, I love to write. I love basketball. And I always loved really the behind the scenes. I still am a fan, technically, but I grew up like really obsessing over signings and trades and, you know, what's going on behind the scenes with this team and what's happening over here with this team. And like, why is this really happening? Like, why is this player really struggling? Or why is this team going through the ups or the downs or whatever? Like, I was always very inquisitive about that growing up. And so, that's kind of what led me to the path that I'm on, and started off at Real GM and Chicago now, and then was at Yahoo and Athletic and Stadium since 2018, and started a FanDuel show in September. Who I think you guys just had Michelle Beadle on.
Yep.
She's actually the host of our show. So hopefully she didn't give you guys too much of a hard time, but she's amazing. We have Chandler Parsons on as well. Eddie Gonzalez. So we have a good group, and I feel refreshed every day kind of doing what I do.
Stacey, this kid's 28 and he's been breaking news since he was in high school.
It's impressive because like, you know, it's really good. Cause I follow him and listen to all, if I need some information, you know, it used to be just Woj, you know, Woj bomb. But I it's like old school, new school. Like I'm always with the new school, the hip hop type person. So that's the Shams. Shams that new hip hop. And, you know, Woj is good at what he does. And he's, you know, he's the old school. He's the old school rock and roll, you know, and some people like that. And some people like the new school. So I'm with Shams on that. Tell us a little bit, Shams, about working with Woj. You learned a lot from him. Tell us the path that led you on to where you are now. Cause you both are like, it's a friendly competition. It's not nothing bitter or, you know, you're trying to outdo him and, you know, it's cutthroat type of situation.
Well, he is kind of trying to outdo him.
Well, but you know, but you can tell that you guys, there's a respect there. You know what I'm saying? When you in this media field, it's such a, you know, now from being a player, now being involved in it, there's a lot of backstabbing, a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes. We found out with, you know, Dan Patrick we had on a few weeks ago that I would have never known that him and Stuart Scott had a beef. And that came out on our show that they didn't like each other. And so so tell us a little bit about your relationship with Woj and how that all transpired.
Yeah, I mean, I think the whole group, if you look at the team that we had at Yahoo, I mean, I was just at that point, I was 21, 22 years old. I was just privileged and honored to be there. I was at a place where, you know, I was writing at realgm.com. I thought I'd already reached the pinnacle. And so to be a part of the group that we had there, we had from the draft to Michael Lee, who I actually worked with as well at The Athletic, and Chris Mannix. And I mean, we had just a stacked roster of writers, on-air talent. And that was really where I first started doing on-air. I didn't really ever think of myself as an on-air person until I was at Yahoo and really getting my feet wet a little bit and getting some reps initially. That really drew me to the video side of this. And that's what I think catapulted me. And that's why it's life, man. Like you guys have been through it much longer in different phases than I have, but you never know when one opportunity might lead to another. And I never thought that I would be, when I first started writing, I never even thought about being on air. And so getting to Yahoo and being able to write and also do video, that catapulted me to Stadium. And when I met the people at Stadium, they were like, we want to get you even more reps. We think you can be on air even more. And so that opened my eyes up to another opportunity. So I think it was just an unbelievable group that we had there. And I think only learning lessons for me as far as what I've been able to take to The Athletic and Stadium and now FanDuel.
You know, Stacy, NBA executives always talk about the ones that got away and mistakes that they made. We had Shams in our studio. We could have hired him. And earlier in that, we also, hey, you'll get a kick out of this one, Shams. Another guy who came through inquiring about a job, Mark Spears. And Mark Spears now is going into the Hall of Fame, getting the Writers Award this year. So we let two great guys like yourself and Mark Spears get away. It's amazing the station is still on the air.
We had Nick Friedel on the set too. He went to ESPN.
Yeah, yeah. It got away.
We're like an old refrigerator down here. We can't keep nobody in. Damn.
Hey, you know, I saw something right around the All-Star game where you were doing an ad for AT&T. You had a fedora on, and man, you were looking sharp. I mean, you have made it big time, my friend. How did that all come about that you were doing that endorsement for them?
Yeah, I appreciate it. I mean, they've been a partner of some of our video content, a lot of our video content at Stadium for the last 2 years. So the tentpole show that we do as far as draft, free agency, trade deadline, season preview, playoff preview, finals preview. We have about 6 tentpole shows that we do stream across Twitter. So they're our main sponsor for that. But then also, a lot of the video content that I do, they sponsor that. So it was just part of the overall deal that we had. And it was good to kind of be in that setting. I've never done anything like that before. So like I said earlier, you never know what you experience and what, you know, one experience might lead to and what you might learn from one experience that helps you on down the line. I don't think there's anything there that helps me with what I'm doing day to day, but you never know what happens on the line. So it was definitely a fun experience. And I'm obviously thankful to not only AT&T, but also Stadium as well.
All right, let's get to basketball.
Yeah, it sucks the basketball.
We need to talk hoops right now because you're one of the leading experts in the behind the scenes stuff. What is your take of our Chicago Bulls? You know, what do you think's going on with this team? What do you think this summer is going to be like for the Bulls? Do you think that, you know, they're going to stand pat with the team that we've currently got now? Do you see them doing something in the summer? Because they didn't do anything at the trade deadline, which I think shocked a lot of people. What do you see going forward with this team?
Yeah, I mean, we'll see what happens with the play-in tournament, the playoffs. I think that's probably where their priority is first. But I think standing pat and keeping the team that they had, I think there were teams that had interest in DeMar DeRozan and Zach LaVine, but there really wasn't an offer that was really made that was going to help this team win now. And I don't think this was the team that wanted to be in a position where they're a lottery team. I think the Bulls as a franchise and this regime right now, I think they do want to be competitive. But, you know, clearly this team has had their ups and downs. I did some reporting on it a couple months ago, about the disconnect that has happened at times on the floor with Zach LaVine and DeMar DeRozan and some of the tension that I think has also existed behind the scenes as far as the playing style. I think they both, and I still have heard they both really like each other off the floor and as people. But clearly there's been a disconnect there at times on the court. And then Billy Donovan, some kind of finger pointing with him as well in the locker room. But right now, this is a team that's clearly fighting for the play-in and playoffs. We'll see what happens there. But I think either way, this summer, the Bulls have decisions to make because, yeah, you had Zach LaVine who went through his own situation where I think him and the Bulls were not seeing eye to eye from what I'm told at different points early on this season. So where does that go this summer? But even the bigger thing as far as directionally is DeMar DeRozan. He's going to be eligible for a new contract extension in the summertime. He's got 1 year left on his deal after this year. What do the Bulls do with DeMar DeRozan? Do they extend him? Do they give him a 1 year extension, a 2 year extension, a 3 year extension? Or do they move him before he enters the last year of his deal? Or, you know, do they build around him and maybe a Vucevic? And there's a lot of different pathways this team can take. They could also reboot and move all. Like, I don't have the answer for what they're going to do, but there's clearly going to be decisions that need to be made. And it's simply because the fact of time is ticking as far as the contract of DeMar DeRozan. He's got 1 year left on his deal after the season.
Shams, there was some reporting during the trade deadline talks that the Bulls were involved in negotiations with the Knicks centered on Zach LaVine, maybe multiple players and picks coming back. When you look at the haul that Utah got for both Donovan Mitchell and Rudy Gobert, if they were to place a player like Zach LaVine on the trade market at 28 years old, what kind of return do you think they could get?
Yeah, I mean, I think any return would have to include multiple draft picks, 2-3 firsts, maybe even more than that. Good players that can help you, you know, stay competitive now. As far as the Knicks conversations, I know the Knicks have had interest in Zach LaVine. I didn't hear that there was anything that was remotely close at the deadline. But listen, if he's available, they're going to be no shortage of suitors, whether that's the Knicks, Lakers, Mavericks. So there are going to be teams that are going to have a level of interest. The question is, you know, what are the Bulls going to do at that point?
You look at the Lakers, you know, every time you see something on TV, it's always about the Lakers. Everybody wants to know what the Lakers are doing, even though the Lakers are not winning. They're not in really in contention. They're fighting for a play-in game. LeBron James goes out now for 3 weeks, they say today. What are the Lakers looking at, and where do you think they're going to do this summer as far as their makeup and roster? You know, being able to move Russell Westbrook was huge for them, but he wasn't the reason. He wasn't the sole reason why that team has been playing the way he was. They made it seem like that. So what was your take on that?
Yeah, I mean, you can't put it all on Russell Westbrook. And I think he actually played really well coming off the bench. And I think he's played pretty well for the Clippers so far. And I think as a roster, there were clear holes on this team. They were able to kind of remedy it at the trade deadline. They were able to get D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley, Jared Vanderbilt, Mo Bamba. They got four high-level rotation players. And at the end of the day, you got to have bodies on your roster. You can't be throwing out, you know, back-end roster guys at different points. And now you're starting to see a lot of those guys role shrink. Lonnie Walker the other night, he was starting playing 30, 35 minutes a night. He played the other night less than 10 minutes. So the roster has gone through a complete overhaul. It's just unfortunate the timing of LeBron James' injury, because when he got hurt, they won that game in Dallas, but they were two games out of the 60 in the Western Conference. Yes, it's super jumbled up in the West, but they were right there. I think they were finally turning the corner. Three straight wins. They've still won four out of five. But this is a team that was clearly on the upward trajectory. And now LeBron James is out for at least 3 weeks. But I'm told it could very well be longer than that. And there are only 5-6 weeks left in the season. So this is a tough spot that LeBron James is in. As much as he wants to play, as much as he's an alien, as much as it's crazy to think about that he played through that game on Sunday night, and now he's out for at least 3 weeks. He's a freak of nature. We'll see when he's going to be back on the floor, but the Lakers are in a tough spot. All you can hope is that you're able to bide some time, but they've got to go above 500 this next stretch if they're going to be in the play-in race.
Shams, I'm sure a lot of people are fascinated in the work that you do. I know that you can't give away your secret sauce, much like Stacy's not going to give away the recipe for his hot sauce.
For a price. Don't sleep. Don't turn that down by my collar.
So take us through what would happen if you're chasing a story. Obviously, you have contacts, you know executives, you know scouts, you know agents. How does the process work for you to try to break a story?
Well, you know, it varies always. I mean, I think the number one thing, though, Mark, is just being 100% accurate and making sure, yeah, I want to be timely. Yeah, I want to be first. But more than anything, I want to be 100% accurate. So my whole process is centered on making sure that at the end of the day, it's 100% the truth and it's the accurate, the information that's being disseminated is 100% accurate. So whether that's, you know, you get a tip and you follow that tip up and you have to talk to 2, 3, 4 more people, whether it's just one person that you really, really trust. At the end of the day, it could be 5 people, 6 people, 10 people. It could be just one person. At the end of the day, I just want to get to the 100% truth of the matter, the facts of the situation. And that's all I think about when I'm going through any process.
Well, we joked about your working with Woj. Did you steal his Rolodex on the way out? I mean, that's a thing of the past, but his contact list, I'm sure that you guys shared stuff for a while and now you've got all that information. Is it the rivalry real, or are we just something that we make up?
I mean, I'm very, very tunnel vision. Like whenever I do anything in really life, but definitely in this, like it's hard to really look around and it's hard to, you know, if you're paying attention to like five people here, 10 people here, you can kind of get lost and sidetracked. So forever for me is the easiest thing to do has always been to just keep my head down, stay tunnel vision, stay very grounded, stay very focused, keep my head forward and keep pushing at the end of the day. Because anytime you start looking left or right or up or down, you start looking at that person or this person, like you can get sidetracked. And so for me, I just, the more I can just stay tunnel vision, that's my mentality. That's my motto.
Let's talk about the Western Conference. I saw a stat the other day where they were saying that the Clippers have the best chance to come out of the Western Conference, which I mean, I'm not saying they're a good team. It all depends on Kawhi Leonard's health. But everybody seems to not give Denver the credit that they deserve. I mean, they've been rolling all season long. Jokic is probably going to win his third MVP, possibly. Why is it that Denver's not getting the respect that they deserve out from the NBA, you know, analysts and all the people who think they know about the game? What is that? What's the hate for Denver?
Yes, yeah, Stacey, you know what? Me and you are like on the same page right here, because I don't understand it either sometimes, because I was in the bubble. They made it to the conference finals. They had Jamal Murray fully healthy. He was balling down there, closing games for them. Nikola Jokic was able to do what he does, but then Jamal Murray would close the games. And they get to the conference finals. They upset the Clippers. They give the Lakers, I think they go to six games with the Lakers. And then the very next year, they go get Aaron Gordon. And they're really on the cusp, I think, at that point of winning a championship and getting to the finals. And then Jamal Murray tears ACL. And so it's hard to judge them off that year. It's hard to judge them off last season because Jamal Murray wasn't there. Now I think you can really get a gauge of, like, is this a playoff? Like, can they replicate the success from a couple of years ago? And then even go further than that and go to the finals. It's tough for me. You know, Stacey, I hear like you, like Denver's not fit for the playoffs. Jokic doesn't play well in the playoffs. Yeah. This, that, in the playoffs. And I'm like, the last time we've seen this team whole with Jamal Murray and Nikola Jokic in the playoffs was 2020. And they made it to the conference finals. So I'm very curious to see how this team develops. I think them, the Warriors, the Clippers, I mean, they're all going to be super tough outs. I think this Western Conference playoffs, even in the Eastern Conference, this is going to be one of the most fun playoffs to me in a really long time.
If you look into your crystal ball, Shams, what do you think is going to be a couple of the biggest storylines in the NBA offseason? Obviously, everybody is curious about Victor Wembanyama coming into the league. Some people are saying he's the best prospect since LeBron James. We've got potential free agency for James Harden and Kyrie Irving. What are some of the storylines for NBA fans to watch as we head into the summer?
Yeah, I think you just named a few of the great ones. I mean, James Harden, Kyrie Irving, definitely going to be among the top free agents this summer. Where do they end up? Houston, San Antonio, their teams with a lot of cap space this summer. What do they do with it? I think the Rockets could have up to $60 million in cap space. What do they do? What do they do with it? And then I think just star movement. There's always going to be stars that could be on the move. Coaching carousel. Victor Wembanyama. Who gets him? Who gets Scoot Henderson? Who gets the Thompson twins? But then even what happened in Atlanta, I was reporting a lot about their coaching search the last week or so, and just this window of Quinn Snyder taking over this group and them going all in on him as their franchise piece, their franchise coach, and how can he and Trae Young coexist? And I think Trae Young is very excited about having Quinn Snyder as a coach, as is Quinn Snyder having the opportunity to coach Trae Young. But these next 2 months, how does that relationship develop? And if it doesn't go off to the right foot, the right path, do the Hawks look to move Trae Young in the summer? I think all those questions are going to be very interesting going into the summer.
Here's one for you. The Lakers and LeBron James. LeBron James has made it very clear that he's going to play until his son gets into the NBA. And what do the Lakers think about that? You know, what is their play on that? If he's still with them and he's clearly made it clear whoever drafts, you know, Bronny, that's where he's going to go. What do the Lakers do? What do they do? He's already telling you what he's going to do. So what are they going to do?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think they will embrace LeBron James, and I think they'll embrace, if there's a pathway to go get Bronny James, I would assume they would embrace it. But I don't think there's a, thankfully they don't have to deal with it for another year. Bronny James won't be draft eligible until 2024. So he's still got to make his college decision. So they kind of have through next season to figure out exactly what they want to do. And going into that, you know, trade deadline of next year, if they're not playing well or whatever, like they have a full calendar year to decide. But you know, it's LeBron James. So if you want to keep him and you have to draft Bronny James, that might be a path they do.
But could you see them, you know, making a move and maybe trading him and then saying, trying to get as many assets from the team that drafts Bronny James and say, okay, we need X amount of players, first round picks, and we'll give you LeBron James to play with his son. Do you see them possibly doing that?
I mean, it's got to be on the other team too, though, right? Like, yeah. The other team's got to be in a position where they're like, all right, we want to go all in on LeBron James and we want to go all in on Bronny. And I think at that point, we'll know if there's a match made there. But yeah, I mean, any team that would want to be trading for him, you're giving up a lot of draft picks, probably a couple good players. Definitely heavy on the draft pick side, though. But yeah, it's hard because this is probably something that they've got a year to really figure out the long-term play.
Shams, I read that your family, your parents came over from Pakistan in the 1980s. What does your family think about the whirlwind life that you leave and the success you've achieved in your 20s?
Yeah, I mean, I still don't think my mom fully understands what I do. Totally fine. That's actually how it should be. But, you know, I think growing up, it was being pushed a lot into being in the medical field. And I always had my eyes set on the NBA and on basketball and being around this league and also, you know, writing and covering the sport. So, you know, I think there's, hopefully she's proud. I think she's proud, but I think overall, you know, she's just happy that she's able to see me kind of carry out my passions that clearly are not very similar to what the norm might be. But definitely a lot of culture shock initially, a lot of questions, a lot of, you know, it's not too late to go and do this. It's not too late to change your major. But thankfully I stuck through the course. I stuck with it. And, you know, I think I just got to keep my head down and keep working.
Looking at Ben Simmons, because, you know, I'm going to ask you all basketball questions because you know the inside stuff. So, you know, Mark's doing the People magazine questions. I'm asking.
People want to know about Shams.
Hey, everybody knows about Shams. But let's talk Ben Simmons. Have you seen, and you're young, I've been around this game for a long time. I have not seen a guy drop from so high and so talented and everybody talking about this guy being, you know, the next great player in the NBA drop so far. It's almost like he got, you know, the Monstars has got a hold of him and he's just lost his complete confidence. He does not look like the same player that he was when he first got to Philadelphia. What is your take on that?
Sorry, just reading something. Yeah, I mean, I think for Ben Simmons, you know, he obviously, you know, he's dealt with knee issues, he's dealt with back issues, he's dealt with a lot, you know, mentally as well. So there are definitely a few factors that are going to be at play for a guy like that, where you know you don't want to be too hard on him, but clearly he has not played up to the level, and I think, you know, the Nets need to figure out how to get him back at that realm because he's a high level player. You know, he plays, you know, at his peak, 3-time All-Star, 2-time All-Defensive Team member. So this is a guy that has always played at a really, really high level, and I think they just need to figure out a way to get him back at that level.
Hey, before we let you go, we have a third member in our podcast, Tim Kelly, and usually he brings interviews to a screeching halt with his off-the-wall questions. So I know you've done some research, Tim. What do you got for Shams today?
All right, Shams. I love all your commentary, of course, like everyone else, but what I also love out there is the things people say about you. So like Jimmy Butler's agent hates you. The Hawks CEO says you're a hack. Kevin Durant says you have a basement full of CIA shit. They keep track of everybody.
And nice then, question, Tim.
Well, then, Tim, man, way to bring the whole interview down.
And then the Woj thing, they said they put out a masked tweet about, always knew Woj was a So what do you think about these things that people come out and say things about you?
Yeah, I mean, I really have no take on that. You know, I kind of just, you know, I like I said earlier, I just keep my head down to work and just very, very tunnel vision. So I really try to just stay focused on the work. So, you know, hey, whatever people want to say, I'll take it.
Haters are going to hate, Shams. You know what? when you do a great job, there's always going to be somebody trying to be negative about it. So I'm a big fan. Keep doing what you're doing. Listen to that.
Hey also,
thanks for that question, Tim.
One more quick question, Shams. Do you think Kardashians can really kill a basketball career?
Stacey can answer that one, I guess.
Oh my God.
Hey, Shams.
Stacey's around the players more than me. Oh, I appreciate you guys goodness. Having me. Thank you.
Shams, we appreciate you joining us. Thanks for joining us. Yeah, the pride of Neuchâtel High School, Loyola University. Shams Charania, our guest on Give Me the Hot Sauce. Thanks, Shams.
Thanks, Shams.
Thanks, guys.
Welcome back. Episode 120 of Give Me the Hot Sauce. It is now March, which means the NCAA tournament can't be too far away. Of course, conference tournaments are going on all across the country. The smaller conferences this week, the big Power 5 conferences will be going next week. And you're going to have a chance to maybe win some money as loyal listeners of the Give Me the Hot Sauce podcast. We told you about the Run Your Pool, and you can enter yourself. You go to play.runyourpool.com. /hot sauce. First place, $500. Second place, $150. Third place, $50. And fourth place, Stacey, might be the best of all, right?
Yes. In fourth place, normally you would get nothing. Okay. But we felt so bad for the people who were playing and participating that we've decided to give you all four flavors of my Gimme the Hot Sauce Gourmet Hot Sauce. So you're going to come away with something instead of just a handshake. Thank you for participating.
So when the NCAA bracket comes out on Sunday, March 12th, go to play.runyourpool.com/hot sauce and fill out the bracket, and you can compete against Stacey and Tim and myself. And watching college basketball around the country, it's been crazy. I mean, all the upsets going on, and the Big Ten is like a war zone. Teams losing left and right.
Yeah, Penn State just, we were coming in last night and Penn State was leaving and they had the big win at Northwestern.
Beat them in overtime.
That was a huge win for them.
Yeah, I spoke too soon, huh?
Yeah, it's 0-3 since your last.
Since you opened your mouth
shut.
Yeah, you should have just shut up.
Just like a Northwestern team.
Yeah, just like Northwestern.
I
guess
St. Timpson clears some extra sauce.
Just like Whispers, just like Northwestern. They suck.
Yeah, Chris Collins called me after the game, said, tell Whispers to shut up.
Yeah. But you know what, though? Like I said, I mean, Kansas just won their Big 12 again. I mean, they should just name the award Kansas, the Kansas Award, because it seems like they win the Big 12 every single year.
Yeah.
No one else has a chance. And then, you know, Oklahoma will be going to the SEC very soon. Texas will be going to SEC. Then Kansas will have no one to really challenge them anymore. So all the other teams just go ahead and give them the trophy now at the start of the season.
Yeah, everybody thinks about football in terms of the conference realignment, but it certainly has an impact on basketball
as
well.
Huge, huge.
Yeah, and Bill Self is just laughing all the way to the bank because he keeps racking up those titles. And they'll go into the tournament as the defending national champions. And it's been a long time since somebody's won two in a row. I'm not sure they are going to go in as the favorite. Stacey and I both like Houston a lot.
I like Houston because of their age. They're an older team, a veteran team, and they are tough. There's something to be said about guys who are 21 years old compared to 18 and 19 year old freshmen. You look at the, you know, Alabama, what's their situation with their star player with the gun incident?
Brandon Miller.
Yeah, Brandon Miller. You got Kansas, you know, Bill Self, you know, he's proven now he can win in a tournament, you know, so I wouldn't sleep on Kansas. UCLA is one of the teams I would be, if I was picking a team, that'd be a team that I would have, depending on where they are in the bracket. I would keep an eye on them because they've got a lot of veteran players as well. They've been in big games the last couple of years, and they got good guard play, and they got the big kid, the forward, that's really nice there. So there's some teams that this is a very winnable tournament for any of those teams in there.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see. I think this might be the year where you get somebody coming in as a 4 or 5 seed and just, you know, upsetting the whole thing, because there's no clear heavyweight this year.
Well, you know, after the last couple of years, I'm picking nothing but I'm doing two brackets. I'm picking nothing but upsets, and then I'm going the real way. The real way. Yeah. Pick the real way, because when you do it that way, I did it last year, baby. I picked all the upsets, baby. I came up big winner, baby. So I'm gonna do that same routine.
Big Ten tournament is going to be at the United Center next week, which means Stacey's out of town all week next week.
What?
They're kicking you out.
For real?
Yeah.
Next week?
Yeah. That's why you're going to be in Denver and Houston and gone for 5-6 days.
Oh, America.
Mark, you're always ruining this.
Listen, man.
I figured you knew it's next week.
I didn't know.
Come on, man.
I thought we were home for a week.
No. You're back on the road. On the road again.
America.
I'll be in Vegas. Let me just say this.
He's just unpacking his suitcase all the time.
America, I know you don't feel sorry for me. I know you don't.
He's over there laughing.
And Mark's laughing at me. I'm living out of a suitcase this year. Okay. Yeah. I'm honestly, this is the first year I've lived out of a suitcase. I just came in last night. I dropped my bags off. It's like NASCAR. You're just changing the wheels. You just, you know, you get dirty clothes out, clean clothes in. America, the things you do for Bulls Nation. I just want to throw that out there. I love you, Bulls Nation. I'm not complaining. Okay? Just bear with me. It's 20 games left.
And the run to the playoffs is on.
Oh, yeah.
Stacey please, King listen. Will be there,
hey, we
got to
get
hey,
listen.
No one wants to say 1-2-3 Cancun more than him.
No. I'm not saying 1-2-3 Cancun. No, don't put me out there. What I'm trying to get to, the play-in game and then get to the playoff game. That's my goal. But I found out last night, we don't get to do the play-in game. We're only doing the playoff game.
So, right, that'll be a network game.
Yeah, it'll be a network game, so we'll be off that. So the Bulls, the bad thing about it is the Bulls need to get into the playoff contention. They need to get, you know, in that 7 and 8 seed, you know, because those, you get two chances there.
Right.
Okay. If you're in that, you're in that 9 and 10 range,
one loss,
it's one, goodbye. It's like the NCAA tournament. It's one and you're done. So you don't want to be in that 9-10. You want that 7-8 because all you got to do is win one game. Mm-hmm. You win one game, you're advancing. You know, if the playing people, if they lose, they're going home. So we don't want to be in a playing game.
Yeah, just to refresh memory, people may have forgotten how that works. 7, 8, 9, 10 in each conference are in the play-in tournament. 7 plays 8. The winner of that game immediately gets the 7 seed. They're in. The loser of the 7-8 game plays the winner of the 9-10 game, and that'll be the number 8 seed. I know it's kind of hard if you don't see it in visually, but that's how it works. And hopefully the Bulls have a better shot at it by trying to work their way up to 7-8 as we look at the standings right now. You know, it's not inconceivable. The Bulls are only 2.5 games behind the Atlanta Hawks, who currently hold the 8th position.
Well, there's nobody hotter right now than the Milwaukee Bucks.
Right.
Can't you hit delete on number 6?
Well, the Nets are sinking. Yeah,
they've gotten pounded. Listen. Yeah, they've lost 4 in a row since the trade. They're gonna drop. So that means, you know, the Heat, Hawks, Raptors, Wizards, Bulls. We gotta beat Phoenix tomorrow. And I said this last week, it's one game at a time. It's a 7-game mentality. It's got to be a 7-game winner take all mentality. And if they take care of business and play like they've been playing, now you're going to play one of the elite Western Conference teams. And the Bulls always seem to get up for these type of teams.
Right.
Okay. It's the teams like, you know, Detroit or Indiana coming in on Sunday that you worry about because the mental focus is not always there on those teams because they think sometimes they can just show up and play. But against the elite teams in the NBA, the Bulls come ready to play. So I'm not really worried about that.
We mentioned the United Center is going to be taken over by the Big Ten tournament. Thursday night, there's a hockey game, and the interesting thing going on outside the United Center this evening, there's a mural being drawn with fans getting a chance to sign messages to Patrick Kane in the parking lot. Patrick Kane, in his 16th season, was dealt to the New York Rangers. He held his press conference earlier Thursday. He's going to make his debut with the New York Rangers. I don't know if you saw that while you were working yesterday, but there was video of Jalen Brunson walking into Madison Square Garden with a Kane jersey.
The Kaner, baby.
Rangers jersey. The Kaner. I mean, when you think about, there it is, there's Jalen Brunson, who's a Chicago guy as well. But do you think about Kane, part of 3 Stanley Cup championships, 9 All-Star teams. He won a Hart Trophy as the league MVP. Really, really a remarkable run. And I don't think there's any doubt that at one point we're going to see Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews with a statue outside the United Center.
And their jerseys retired.
Right.
I mean, those two guys, listen, I wasn't even really a hockey fan, but those guys made me really follow the Blackhawks. And they've kind of grew up in front of our eyes.
Yeah.
And to see him leaving, you know, after 16 years as a Black, it doesn't even seem right.
I know.
You know? And he had to waive his trade. There's no trade clause to go there. Cause they really were screwed basically. Cause they couldn't send him anywhere else and get drafted.
That's why they didn't get that.
That's why. And New York knew that. So they was like, oh, we'll just hold him hostage. Basically get him for a bag of chips. And so now he goes to where he wants to go because he's from New York, right? And he's from Buffalo or something.
Buffalo, yeah.
Yeah, so now he gets to go play, probably grew up idolizing the Rangers. Now he gets to finish out his career with the Rangers at home in front of his family and friends. And I'm glad to see that he gets to go where he wants to go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because he brought so much to the Blackhawks, so much to Chicago. And Toews the same way, man. You know, it's just a matter of time before he gets moved too, I think. So he's... the captains.
Does he go in your top 5 all-time Chicago athletes?
Patrick Kane?
Yeah.
Kaner.
It would for me.
I'd probably say he's one of my top 5 partiers. I can party with the Kaner. The Kaner's wild. I can go with me and the Kaner can roll. The Kaner's wild. Lake
Geneva. He'd be over at Chuck's over there by the Abbey.
Oh, man, the Kaner's wild, bro. Seriously, I could roll. My younger days, me and the Kaner would have had a good time. Me and the Kaner would have been hanging out, baby.
Well, now he's reunited with his old line mate, the bread man, Artemi Panarin, so they're going to make some magic in New York City. So we'll see how that goes as the NHL playoffs resume. We want to tell you about what we're watching. It is sponsored by our friends at Biggers. Their new sizzling Elgin location at Randall Road is the biggest Mazda store in the state of Illinois. Biggers is offering a bottle of Stacy's signature hot sauce with first test drives of new or pre-owned vehicles. It's your choice. Everything from the coolest SUVs to the stunning Miata. So make sure you join the fun at 2100 Randall Road in Elgin at Biggers Mazda. Ask for our buddy Jim Lecter, right?
That's right. That's after the drive, though. You get Clarice. The sauce.
Clarice.
You can't be chugging it while you're driving.
No sauce before the drive.
No sauce before
that'd be driving while impaired.
That's right.
All right, so Stacey's been traveling around doing a lot of basketball. I don't know if he's been watching much. Did you have anything for the folks this week?
Well, you know, I was watching some Gladiator the other day. It came on, you know, Russell Crowe, one of my one of my favorite movies, you know.
It's like our podcast. Are you not entertained?
Jesus. Oh, come on. Me one more time. I'm going to throw a punch. Yeah,
come on.
Okay. Anyway, America, before I was really interrupted, this is one of the greatest movies ever created, Gladiator. Russell Crowe's one of his finest performances. This is awesome. And then even Commodus, which is what's his name who played the bad
Joaquin
guy?
Phoenix.
Yeah, he even played a good role. He had me so mad, I wanted to kill him. You know what I'm saying? I wanted to kill him. You know, and the coolest thing about that movie was that you know Russell Crowe had to go through all this adversity. His whole thing was about family, and his family got killed. That's the only reason why he stayed alive. You know, if his family would have been taken care of, think about it, he would have died a soldier's death. But when he found out that his family would join him in the afterlife, and his boy Crixus did it. He fought through and survived. And it's just an awesome movie. And if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Whispers, what do you got?
I've watched a good show called Devotion and then a terrible show called The Long Way.
A little more information.
Nicolas Cage, it's so bad. The beginning of the movie is supposed to be young.
Yeah.
And then they do 20 years later. He looks younger 20 years later.
Makup artist than that, yeah. I guess.
But Devotion is about the first black naval aviator in the Korean War. It's based on a true story. And they meet
the guy in Creed.
Yeah, yeah. It's great. And that is
Ant-Man.
I can't believe that wasn't a bigger hit. Excellent film.
Yeah, it's an awesome film.
Yeah, but looking forward to Creed 3.
I'm going
to
tell you something, though. Any movie with Nicolas Cage is horrible.
Well, no, his last
except
one was good.
Except for the Marrying Men. Is it the Marrying Men when he was married and he went back in time? And what was it called?
Family Man.
That was an awesome movie.
That was really good.
And then he was in the movie.
The Weatherman. He's a Weatherman.
The Weatherman was good. but he hasn't really.
But his last one was great.
Which one?
The overwhelming weight of.
We got off track.
Whatever it was called.
He was making everything that was available.
He was just taking everything.
Yeah.
You say you want me to play the Baskin Robbins man? I'll do that too.
I'm in.
31 flavors, baby.
He did the biopic, the Mark Chynosky story, which I thought was excellent.
It was outstanding. Yeah. Pretty good stuff. I've got a recommendation for you. Season 2 of Your Honor is out on Showtime. This is a fantastic show. Bryan Cranston plays a disgraced New Orleans judge, and his son got involved in a hit and run accident and accidentally killed a mobster's son. And it's just fantastic trying to cover it up and the ups and downs of the story. And Cranston's such a marvelous actor. It's really good stuff. So if you have Showtime, check it out. They're in season 2 now, but you can always watch season 1 on demand.
Hey, and I tell you what, UFC this weekend, one of the biggest fights in the history of UFC. Yeah. John Jones makes his return. The GOAT makes his return. He's fighting for the heavyweight title. I wanted to fight Francis Ngannou, but they couldn't come to terms with Francis, and Francis is out the UFC. So now he's going against Ciryl Gane, who's a very tough opponent. Very athletic. It's going to be a great fight because Gane is a very athletic big. He can kick. He can punch. Tremendous athlete for a big guy. So it's going to be interesting to see John Jones, who went up in weight and put on extra weight to go up to heavyweight. He's got the frame to handle it, but does he lose his quickness and his speed that he had at light heavyweight? So that's going to be, and then being off for 4 years. You know, getting in trouble with the law and just all kind of things that happened to him. And it seems like he's got his head on straight now and he's ready to come back into the ring. And what way to come back? Most guys take tune-up fights. Most guys like, I'm going to take 2 tune-up fights at the heavyweight division before I go up. He went straight for the sharks. He came back and said, hey, I'm going to fight the best guy available. And he wanted to fight Francis Ngannou, who's arguably the baddest MMA fighter on the planet. And Dana White couldn't come up with the money to keep him. And so he's got to fight Ciryl Gane, who's a very good fighter.
So that means party at Stacy's house. All your boys are going to be there. Yes. Make sure you provide drinks and pizza for everybody, right?
Yeah. You know, it's my shout out to my son, Brandon. It's his birthday today. Turned 28.
Yeah, great.
You know, I know I look good for my age, you know, having kids, two kids in the 30s and one is 28 and I got another one's 23. Drink water and it's hot sauce. I just want to throw this out there, America. If you want to look young like myself, just get you some bottles of hot sauce.
No, Brandon, I'm telling you, a couple layers off.
Got good skin too.
You know what else looks good is your buddy Mike. Is he out there waiting for it?
Yes. Yeah. Mike was out. He had to do a little running. He had to take care of some people, but he's back. You know, Mike just got back from seeing Bruce Springsteen in Portland. He almost got snowed in.
Yeah.
He missed the flight. You know, they canceled the flight. He was supposed to go out, and then he finally got a hold of some Huskies, and he was on with what do you call a little Husky race? What do you call it?
A sled?
No, the race in Alaska.
The Iditarod.
Yes, exactly. He got on one of them, and yeah. he flew to Yakima, and he got some Huskies, and he got on down to Portland. So he got to see the boss. So shout out to my boy Mike. Mike, I know you listen out. He's one of the loyal listeners. I just want to throw that out there, guys. He knows each one of you guys' names. He knows Sriracha crew. He knows Maddie's name. He knows everybody. He pays attention.
He was doing laps in the parking lot last week because we had a little post-show meeting, and he was getting a little restless. Listen,
he's got his little watch on. It counts the steps. Yeah. Right? The guy walks like 20 miles in like 30 minutes. He's just walking. He's just walking. I see him. I'm like, Mike, we ready to go? I'm coming. You know, but when you're a third degree black belt, you know, and you're hired to protect me, you know, you got to stay in shape.
That's right.
Shout out to Mike. And he shout out to Tim too, because Tim turned him on to the juicer where he's cleansing. And so
Mike,
he did it. He bought the cleanse. Yeah. He was, you know, and he's eating healthy, you know, he's like now, you know, he's been, you know, before he could only do 100 pushups. Now he's doing 1,000 because he cleansed. Wow. Way to go, Mike. Way to go, Mike. So this is shout out to my boy, Mike and Windish, baby. Windy City Limousine provides championship service. Making a reservation is so easy. It's a slam dunk. Let Windy City break the full core pressure of traffic and get you to your destination. Clarice, in style and on time. contact us at 847-916-9300 or...
CityLimo.com. Tell them that Bane sent you. I was born in the dark. You were just sitting in it.
Hey, before we get out of here, Pete the Side Guy wants to get Stacy's opinion on Jake Paul who's in a fight.
He sucks, okay? First of all, you've been ducking Kendall Gill for years. Yeah. Kendall Gill, you should have fought Kendall Gill. He finally decided he's going to step up the competition and fight a real boxer. And Tommy Fury is not really an elite boxer, right. But his brother is Tyson Fury. So he went in there, and the way to beat Jake Paul is going there and jab him to death. And I'll give Tommy Fury credit. He jabbed the crap out, pop, 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 and Jake, he had no answer for it. That was Kendall's game plan. Kendall said, you know, I'm just going to jab him to death. You duck Kendall. Now, do you want to fight Kendall? You want to get your respect back and your credibility? Call Kendall Gill, okay? And Kendall, put that thing on you too. Why? I got all my money on Kendall Gill knockout in the second round.
There you go. It's Pete the Sign God. You got your answer. Stacy has a strong opinion on that.
PG, what up, boy?
He's always the star of the live chat. We appreciate everybody that following along on YouTube. And, of course, we'll have a brand new show coming for you next week. Stacy's going to be on the road, so we may alter our schedule. So be alert for
If you are subscribed, you will know these things.
Right.
So make sure you subscribe so you know what day we're actually shooting our show.
That's right. Listen, like, and subscribe.
Right.
We always appreciate it. Got anything on the way out, Whispers?
No, I'm good.
I see his beer is empty, so we got to get out of here. We want to thank the Sriracha crew. We want to thank Shams Charani. It was right in the middle of breaking news that we dragged him away from. We apologize for that. He was a fantastic guest, and we will be coming at you next week with a brand new show. So stay tuned for announcements on the when and where. Stacy.
Drive home safely, Chicago. Beep, beep.
Give me the hot sauce. What are you doing, Dragon?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.